6 weeks ago, the biggest rappers in the world started fighting, but this weekend, it went nuclear. Diss tracks were dropping left and right. We got a music video, a summer jam, a streaming record was broken. There was an international crowdsourced competition just to diss Drake.
This is probably the last time we will see a rap beef on this scale. When you think about the big rap beefs, whether it's Tupac and Biggie, Nas, Jay, Drake and Pusha T, people have been waiting over a decade for Drake and Kendrick to stop with the veiled shots and finally punch each other in the mouth. And that is what we definitely got this weekend.
There's going to be some salty language. There's going to be salacious allegations. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth versus Aubrey Drake Graham coming up on Today Explained.
From pesos to pounds, euros to yen, Wise can help you manage your money in different currencies. With Wise, you can send money to your cousin in Australia with ease, travel internationally without having to brave an airport currency exchange desk, and take away the guesswork that goes along with converting currencies. Wise lets you send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate, all without any hidden fees. Join 16 million customers already using Wise worldwide. To learn more about how a Wise account could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com. That's Wise, WISE.com. Wise.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is an artificial intelligence version of Drake, and you are listening to Today Explain.
Sean Ramos Firm here with Charles Holmes from The Ringer. Charles, how did all this get started?
Yeah, so people probably will not know this unless you've been very into rap, but there have been three rappers for the last decade plus that have been the biggest rappers in the genre, and we have dubbed them the Big Three. That is Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole. And as every rapper, these rappers have just been in a tug of war that sometimes is a beef, but sometimes is just a battle of dominance. Drake is the pop star.
I need a one dance, got a Hennessy in my hand.
He is the center that basically the music world revolves around. And then you have someone like Kendrick.
Where you and I was walking, now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. Kunta, black man taking no loss.
Oh yeah. Kendrick is the heart, or he is the soul of hip hop. He's everything that when we think of, like, what does hip hop mean? The rebellion, that's Kendrick. And I think over the years, they've gone back and forth over, well, Drake, you use ghostwriters. And Drake being like, it doesn't matter, I'm way bigger than you, Kendrick, sit down. And it culminates on a song called First Person Shooter, where two of the big two, Drake and J. Cole, team up to basically rap about how great they are.
Love when they argue the hardest MC. Is it K-Dot, is it Aubrey or me? We the big three like we started a league. But right now I feel like Muhammad Ali.
Kendrick takes offense on this, on a song called Like That, and essentially says, hey, it's not the big three anymore, it's big me. Also, y'all guys are bums.
Motherfuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga, bum.
Drake comes back with a song called Push Ups and then another song called Tailor Made.
You better drop and give them 50. Pip squeak, pipe down, you ain't in no big three, scissor got you wiped down.
And then he hits Kendrick again with the help of some technology on TaylorMade.
He's impersonating or cosplaying as one of Kendrick's lifelong heroes, Tupac, using AI.
Kendrick, we need ya, the West Coast savior. Ain't Grady your name, it's some hip-hop history.
Throughout this whole time, Kendrick is quiet. Drake is kind of needling him. It's like, yo, when are you going to drop? When are you going to drop? When are you going to drop?
And then it's like about a week ago, he drops and he goes after Drake's entire life on Euphoria.
The biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak this. If I catch flight,
and the beat very, very quickly gets ugly. And that's how you get to this weekend.
Things get insane this weekend. Can you just take us through this past weekend?
Yeah, so we had already pretty much gotten the opening salvos from each artist. And at that point, you're just like, all right, this beef isn't over, but we're all kind of waiting to see what the next thing happens. And then Drake comes back with Family Matters.
You know what I mean? They hired a crisis management team to clean up the fact that you beat on your queen. The picture you painted ain't what it seemed. It is.
And in this song, he alleges some very scathing and potentially damaging things about Kendrick that have not been corroborated, reported, fact-checked, or whatever. He essentially says on that track that you guys think Kendrick is your savior. I'm alleging now that he hired a crisis PR firm to clean up the fact that he assaulted his wife and that one of his very close friends and business partners is actually the father of one of his children. So at that point, people on the internet are like, okay, this has gotten serious. The button has been pushed. And quite literally, I don't even think it had been an hour yet, Kendrick steps on that record and drops Meet the Grams immediately.
Grew facial hair because he understood being a beard just fit him better. He got sex offenders on Hovio that he keep on a monthly allowance. And a child should never be compromised and he keeping his child around him. And we gotta raise our daughters knowing there's predators like him lurking.
Kendrick is alleging that Drake is surrounding himself with people in his camp that are accused of very heinous things and basically needling at Drake that he has an alleged propensity to go after young women and groom them. And as rap beef tends to do, unfortunately, women, baby mothers, family, children are used in very gross ways to satiate the big egos of the two most popular rappers in the world right now. And then once we're like, all right, well, they both done the thing, Kendrick arrives again with another song called Not Like Us.
Now, and Baka got a weird case. Why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 wop. That fuck him up. Wop, wop.
Everybody at that one, like, these records are fine, but I wanted to shake some ass. And Kendrick's like, you want to know what you can shake some ass to right now? Me calling basically everybody in Drake's circle certified pedophiles.
Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably A minor.
That's a lot. I'm sorry. Also, these men are close to 40.
We should point out here that these two men are both alleging essentially the abuse of women. Are any women coming out and saying these men have abused me? Or is it all just them lobbing this sort of gossip, these rumors at each other?
Right now, no one has necessarily come out to corroborate any of this. But what I will say is the thing that people have to understand about rap beef is rap beef is not about truth that much. Rap beef is about who is the funniest or who will go low and will punch you the hardest. And a lot of the complaints that you will be seeing if you go on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok is that some of this might be true, none of it might be true. But a lot of this is steeped in rumors that these are music industry rumors. These are rumors that their fellow stan armies have talked about. Like a lot of the groomer accusations, a lot of this is wrapped up in very gossipy headlines about when Drake was chatting with a Millie Bobby Brown or Billie Eilish before they were of age.
You and Drake? That's awesome.
What advice does he give you? Like, what does he say?
About boys. He helps me.
What?
Yeah. He's great. He's wonderful. I love
What's
him.
What's his advice with boys?
You know, that stays in the text messages.
And both of those stars have come out being like, nothing inappropriate happened. But if you are a Kendrick stan or whatever, you're just like, well, hey, we have all of this other supposed documentation of Drake dating women that are very young. Once again, all of this stuff is hearsay. But rap stans don't care. They've never cared and they never will. One of the big allegations was Kendrick being like, yo, Drake is hiding another child. And Drake had to come out and be like, I am not hiding an 11-year-old child. But actually, I planted the story of having an 11-year-old child to trick Kendrick.
We plotted for a week and then we fed you the information. A daughter that's 11 years old, I bet he takes it.
And for people who are listening to this who know nothing of this, they're like, excuse me, the most popular rappers and artists on the world are arguing about potentially casting a fake illegitimate daughter to trick one rapper into rapping about it. This is like the level of Bravo reality shenanigans that ruined my weekend.
You're talking about how Drake has been painted in a certain light by Kendrick and how fans are sort of on board and happy to see that. Can you tell us about what that light is? Because if you go on certain corners of the internet, especially Twitter, it feels like everyone is kind of piling on Drake right now.
Drake has been so dominant for so long. And I think the thing that's kind of undergirding a lot of this thing with Drake is because he's been dominant for so long, people want to see the number one guy get punched in the mouth. And I also think that Drake has dropped a lot of music and the quality of it has waned critically. Consumption-wise, he's still the biggest rapper on the planet and the biggest pop star not named Taylor Swift. So I think just human nature, you want to see the king get dragged off his throne. And it being somebody like Kendrick, who has won a Pulitzer, is of that type of like rapper when we talk about Nas or Andre 3000, someone who we think, quote unquote, or is marketed as being more of the culture, that's just a storyline that no one can pass up.
Right, because what you're talking about here is authenticity. And one of Kendrick's primary arguments here seems to be that Drake is just phony.
You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you're not a colleague. You're a fucking colonizer.
Honestly, one of the biggest things that Drake has had to overcome is that Drake is a former child actor from Toronto who is half Jewish, has a white side of the family, and then has a black side of the family. And I think it feeds into a lot of tricky narratives about Drake and cultural appropriation because Drake is a chameleon. He got as famous as he was being able to go to places like Atlanta.
I don't even know what that's about. Watch your mouth.
Houston.
She front of H-Town. I say my name is Drizzy.
Jamaica.
Bite my legs calling me from unruly girl, baby.
Or the UK.
You know how to play against chit-chat goals. I like R's and V's and O's. I don't really play no tic-tac-toe.
And it's just dancehall, grime, whatever. Drake has done it all. He is the globalization of hip-hop in a human. But it also is tricky when you're just like, okay, what does it mean that a light-skinned rapper that looks the way that Drake looks gets to hold that perch? It definitely does feed into a lot of who gets to be successful in Hollywood, in the music industry, how do they get successful? But I think if you're Drake, you're just like, you guys have seen my father. I am a black man. How has this beef turned into Drake, you're not black anymore. You can't say the N-word. We don't want to hear it.
I even hate when you say the word nigga, but that's just me, I guess. Some shit just cringeworthy. Ain't even got to be deep, I guess. Still love when you see success. Everything with me is blessed. Keep making me dance, waving my hand, and it won't be no threat.
And everybody being like, yeah, that's funny, yeah. But once again, rap beefs are not about truth. They're not about nuance. It's about being like, yo, mama is so fat. And everybody's like, oh, yeah.
I'll make sure I double back with you. You were signed to a nigga that signed to a nigga that said he was signed to that nigga. Try cease and desist on a like that record. Oh, what, you ain't like that record?
Why this beef between two of rap's titans might be the last of its kind when we're back on Today Explained.
My life is rap. That's whole shit. I got a son to raise. But I can see you don't know nothing about that. Waking them up. No, nothing about that. Then tell them to pray. No, nothing about that. Then giving them tools to walk through life like day by day. No, nothing about that. Teaching them morals, integrity, discipline.
Support for this episode of Today Explained comes from Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile wants to say something kind of deep. You don't have to keep shelling out huge amounts of money for your phone plan just because that's what you've always done. Mint Mobile offers wireless plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Mint Mobile says that all of their plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk, unlimited text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can make the switch and keep the phone and number that you have right now, along with all of your existing contacts. You can get this new customer offer and a new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month by going to mintmobile.com/explained. That's mintmobile.com/explained. You can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/explained. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on their first three-month plan only. Speeds are slower above 40 gigabytes on the unlimited plan. And additional taxes, fees, and restrictions do apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Whoa. Wise is the app that makes using different currencies easy. Need to send dollars to your cousin in Bali fast? Getting paid in another currency and don't want to lose out because of inflated exchange rates? Want travel money without having to slog through the currency exchange kiosk? Then Wise might just be your answer. From pesos to pounds, euros to yen, Wise takes the guesswork out of converting currencies. You can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate with no markups and no hidden fees. In 2023, people sent over $100 billion worldwide with Wise. What's more, over half of those transfers got to their destination in less time than it takes to listen to this ad. Whether you're traveling, sending money abroad, or doing business, let Wise help you manage your money in different currencies with ease. Join 16 million customers already using Wise worldwide. To learn more about how a Wise account could work for you, download the app or visit Wise.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E.com, Wise.com.
Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, fixer, and friend, testified this week in Manhattan.
Todd Blanche is upset because he knows that he looks like a fool right now representing Donald Trump. It is the stupidest opening to a cross-examination I have ever heard, and I have heard a lot of stupid stuff.
I'm Preet Bharara, and this week, Katie Fang, host of MSNBC's The Katie Fang Show, joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet, to talk about the latest court news from Trump's trial. The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe in this song, you shouldn't start by saying...
Today Explained, still here with Charles Holmes from The Ringer. Charles, I want to know where this battle fits into the pantheon of beef and hip-hop. Can you take us back?
I mean, the beef that everyone... This is like a multi-million dollar industry, is Tupac and Biggie, East Coast, West Coast beef.
West side, bad boy.
I think Tupac and Biggie was the point where the industry realized, oh no, we're not just selling records, we're selling magazines. This is something that we're reporting on. There's documentary after documentary, book after book about this, because once again, there's layers to it. There's personally what Tupac and Biggie were going through, but there's also like what the East Coast represents as the mecca of hip-hop, the birthplace of it, and then the West Coast being like, yo, this is the home of gangster rap, we're pushing the genre forward. And from that, I think a lot of beefs that we've gotten after that, whether it has been Jay-Z or Nas or Drake and Pusha T, or Drake and Meek Mill, have kind of gone through those lines of sometimes it's about who's the best lyrical rapper. Sometimes it's about, well, you're the sellout and I'm the authentic one. Sometimes it's like, you're the old street dude, I'm the new street dude.
You guys don't want it with hope. Ask Nas, he don't want it with hope. No, R-O-C.
If you look at like Jay and Nas, that's kind of a perfect example of, does that beef happen if Notorious B.I.G. is still alive? Probably not. But with Biggie out of the picture, you have a fight for, well, who is the king of New York? Jay, who is this hyper-capitalist and is this pop star. And you have Nas, who at that point is like in the same way that Kendrick. Nas fans look at him as this pure artist. When we think of how we even talk about modern beef across culture, we say ether.
Mess with your soul like ether. Well, teach you the king, you know you. Nah. Godson across the belly.
That's from this beat. That comes from a beef like Jay and Nas. So that, we don't have time to get into all the politics of that, but that is kind of, once again, the modern rap beef of hyper-capitalist pop star, more marketed as the artistic revolutionary.
Which probably sets up all the various beefs that Drake has had, because at the center of those beefs is always this sense that Drake is an outsider, Drake is a pop singer, Drake is a Canadian, Drake isn't authentic, Drake isn't hard, whatever it might be.
So yeah, I think Drake has had a lot of beefs, and he's like, one, I think Drake gets to the point he's at where there's a before and after he gets into a very, very contentious beef with Meek Mill, a Philadelphia rapper. I was living in Philadelphia at the time. A lot of people did not think that Drake would win because Meek He's a street rapper.
Barking at his house.
Them summer nights can even turn cold. In the streets of Philly where niggas don't even get to turn old. My heart pumping to it turn gold.
Even at that time, you're still like, street rap wasn't the thing, but you're still like, Meek Mill is battle tested. He's a battle rapper. He was doing this in the streets. And Drake just outmaneuvers him. And at that time, what Drake realizes is, yo, the nerds won. This is meme culture, internet culture. The internet was behind Drake.
You love it and you gotta get a world tour. Is that a world tour or your girl's tour? I know that you gotta be a thug for her. This ain't what she meant when she told you to open up more. Yeah.
Drake's songs become a lot tougher. You have records like If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, or what we get like on songs like Mob Ties, where Drake is kind of like a faux criminal boss, where he's just like, well, I beat Meek Mill. So then when Pusha T comes a few years later, Pusha T is a street rapper who is from a group called Clips, one of my favorite rappers of all time, talks about drug dealing a lot. Pusha T's like, you know what? I'm gonna do what no one else has been able to do with Drake. I'm gonna use the internet against him.
We talking character. Let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child. Let that boy come home.
And on the story of Addie Don, he tells everybody Drake is hiding a child. And for the first time, Pusha T does what Drake had been doing for years, which is using the internet, using TMZ and Boss Up and all of these things that had become the center of culture to say, hey, the only way I can beat Drake is at his own game. I can't out-rap him. But what I can do is say, now, every single time people talk about beef, they're like, remember story of Addie Don when we realized that Drake was hiding a child with a former sex worker? That was insane. That is the new beef. That explains Kendrick and Drake now lobbing back insults and revelations that are fueling Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube videos. This is where we are.
But even though Pusha T drops this unimaginable bomb on Drake, he seems to recover. You know, a few months later, he drops this album, Scorpion. It's got three huge hits on it, and everyone's happy to have their Drake back.
Hold on, hold on.
But this time, it feels like Kendrick is once again able to use Drake's best asset against him, the internet. And this time, it seems less certain that Drake will recover.
Oh, Drake will recover. Because every rapper recovers. The thing that people don't want to admit is that this beef is good for so many parties.
Hmm.
It is good for Universal Music Group that signs both of these artists. The YouTube reaction video ecosystem, podcasting, websites, you know, music writing is not in that great of a place. I guarantee you, if you go to the remaining music publications that are around, their biggest stories from the week were from this beef. And the reason I say Drake will be fine is because most rappers after beefs are fine, because what rap is selling and what most major label music is selling is gossip. It's selling attention, the attention economy, the internet. So it's like Drake will be fine. He'll be back in a couple months with an album. It'll stream out the wazoo. Kendrick will stream out the wazoo. Everybody will be fine. Because also what we're forgetting, most of Drake's fans probably don't even know that this happened.
Wow.
There's a bunch of like middle-aged women in the suburbs who are working out, listening to Hotline Bling, and they're like, say what? What do you mean? Who, Kendrick who?
So some people may have missed this beef, and what they may have missed, though, was significant, because a lot of things about this particular beef between Kendrick and Drake have been unprecedented. Drake using AI to bring, you know, fake Tupac and Snoop verses against Kendrick. The sheer volume of the music has been kind of amazing. Metro Boomin is crowdsourcing Drake disses online. The nature of the allegations, how personal it all is. You argue that this might be the last great rap beef we ever see in your piece for The Ringer. How come?
It's hard to make a superstar in any genre right now. I think there's a reason why at the end of the year, when you look at the biggest streamers and you see Drake, Kendrick, Taylor Swift, Kanye, all these people, all of those rappers are 10, 15, sometimes 20 years into their career, even the pop stars. Mm. And that's just because streaming, TikTok, the attention economy, it's just different. When I came of age, I was able to pay attention to Drake and Kendrick and become their fan in a myriad of ways that just a younger audience doesn't anymore. And I would guarantee you, if you asked a 10, 11, 12-year-old if they were keeping up with this beef, the answer would be no, because all of this starts on songs and subliminals that were released a decade ago. So I think that there will always be rap beef. Rappers will be beefing as long as people are rhyming over beats. But for people to care at this extent, it takes a certain amount of money, prestige. The reason that this is the last great rap beef is, I'll ask you this, Sean, can you name me a rapper that has come out in the last 10 to 15 years that your mom would even know in the same way as Drake and Kendrick?
Oh man, no. And my mom like spends a lot of time on Twitter and still no, I don't think so.
Maybe Cardi B, but once again, Cardi B has dropped one album and she's just like, that's cool, I'll give you some features. Like it's right. A different time.
If this is the last great sort of gasp of hip hop beef, do you think we're going out on a good one?
I think that we are going out in the most entertaining way possible. Not like us. That's a bop. Kendrick is about to have two summer hits. But I don't think, or at least me personally, none of these diss tracks live up to what they gave us before. But I also think that that makes sense. I think a lot of rappers tend to make their best work when they are young and hungry and celebrity is not the main equation. And I think for Kendrick and Drake, they've been famous and dominant for so long. It is impossible for celebrity not to infect the more artistic parts of their work. And let's be clear, Drake and Kendrick are among, if not the most important musicians of like musicians of just the 21st century in terms of what they've done and how they pushed in their time on the top. Hip hop became the most consumed genre in the world, a genre that was made in New York by black and brown people with scraps is now something that is a multi-billion dollar industry. That is incredible. But there is a sadness being like, oh, this is how it ends.
Every second, every minute.
Well, that's the American story, I guess.
If you a bad chick, put your hands up high, hands up high. Hands up high, tell them that lights down right now. Put me in the mood. I'm talking about dark room perfume. Go.
Charles Holmes, TheRinger.com, he wrote one titled Drake and Kendrick Lamar is the Last Great Rap Beef. Thank God. Thank God for Amina Al-Sadi, who edited the show today, and for Matthew Collette, who fact-checked. For David Herman and Patrick Boyd and Rob Byers, who all ganged up for the mix. And thank God for Zach Mack. He joined us from across the hall at Vox Media to produce today's show. He's got his own show with Taylor Lorenz called Power User. Their latest episode is about industry plants. Put on your industry pants and give it a listen. Before we go, a reminder that Drake and Kendrick used to be buds. They collaborated and people loved it. News broke yesterday that a security guard got shot outside of Drake's palace in Toronto. Nobody knows why yet. Could have been this beef, could have been another one. But let's just please stick to writing poems about each other, boys. Please.
You can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it. And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on?
Hold on.
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.